Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for telling a friend. And I must say, some of my proudest work is my Take a Knee podcast with Norman Lear, which will air tomorrow if you subscribe for, I think, almost nothing a month. So what can you lose? Go to adamcarolla.com and you can find out the information there. But it is transcendent. Philip Keane has rejoined us. Major Crimes, name of his show, third season, returning tomorrow. Monday. TNT. Dr. Drew, just sliding into the studio.
Indeed.
Philip has been a guest on my show, has been a guest on this show as well, and is somebody who we find inspirational because he got dealt a hand in life, and he chose to work on himself, and he chose to make a good life for himself. And it's an extension of what we talked about last episode, but, you know, it's so funny. It is ultimately the best and ultimate narcissistic endeavor, which is, you know, people go, well, this person's from this background, or their parents were poor, or they grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, or, you know, he's a young gay man. You can't expect with society against him. Okay, but you're living your life. Make it the best you can make for you.
Absolutely. I remember sitting in one of my therapy sessions and telling my therapist, I think this feels kind of strange because it's all about me. I feel a little selfish being here.
Was it that or was it the focus of the other person? Because that's what I found kind of interesting in therapy. I was so used to not being deeply scrutinized by another person that felt uncomfortable. Was it that piece that made you feel that way?
That was a little bit of it, but more it was about spending so much time on myself and working on those kinds of things. But yeah. I eventually got over it.
So. But, you know, it's funny. We always look at it. I've never really even thought about it. I mean, Drew, we talk about it all the time. It's like, well, why doesn't this person work on themselves and change? Well, criticism's hard to take. A lot of people are defensive. It's like, do it for you, man.
Right.
I mean, we approach it from the other side, which is people, don't, you know, they're not as open to it. Like, my whole thing for everybody who was born on the wrong side of the tracks, single parent household, whatever, low income, whatever your thing is. Feel free to work 10 times as hard now because maybe that's what it's going to take. That's the only solution. You know, people go, well, look at you, Dr. Drew. Your parents were married for 200 years. Your dad's a doctor. He actually golfs and is a doctor. So he operates while on
with a club
on the with a sand wedge. Like, yeah, okay, fine. That's Dr. Drew. That's not you. So now Dr. Drew had a bunch of opportunities that you didn't have. Now, he had to work for those opportunities, but he had opportunities, just like Dr. Drew's kids and my kids are going to have opportunities that I never had. Fine. All the more reason for me to internalize and work twice as fucking hard. Not for you, so I can have a yummy life.
Yeah.
Don't I want to have a fun life?
Yeah.
Why is that not just sort of the message?
We'd rather make it other people's responsibility.
I understand that. I understand.
But that doesn't get us very far, does it?
No, but now you always point at your
use
friends.
Use your mic. Drew, would you please use do you have to handle your mic and lean it and shove it around? Just point it toward your mouth and tip it down.
I'm trying to be silent with the coffee.
Okay,
that's
right,
my
Drew, you know what happens when you leave? We all laugh about you. We all sit in the corner.
That's not true.
It's true. We all fucking laugh. I go, can you fucking believe this guy? Can you believe how fucked up he is?
I'm not going to tell you what happens when you leave.
We all fucking laugh. We all laugh.
But be that as it may, see how they laugh now?
Yeah.
I fucking forgot what I was going to say.
No,
the hell are we talking about, guys? Help me. Gary?
They're too busy laughing about you.
I completely blacked out. Changing.
Yeah, I was asking why the government.
Oh, I know what I was going to say.
And why the man. Okay, so.
Listen, hang on. What I was going to say was you always point at your friends like Chris and Ray. And why can't they change? And why can't they listen to you? And why can't they do it your way? And why can't they learn from what you've through experience, have found to be true? Why can't they adopt that, right?
Yeah.
It's the same phenomena. And some of that boils down to another issue you and I have had conflicts about, which is education, which is the discipline to be able to learn focus.
I agree. They've never done homework a day in their life.
And so you were yelling about your kids doing homework in third grade. This is the building blocks of those phenomena where you can look around and go, oh, geez, I need to focus here and make a change and learn how to do that.
No, I understand the process.
The process may not be academic learning, but to understand and be able to focus and change direction, that takes discipline.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is it's easier, of course. If you're fat, it's easier to blame McDonald's and Krispy Kreme. It's fine.
And people use you and I pointed out forever, people always take the path of least resistance, right?
Right.
It's the first move.
But
that's
it's your fat ass that's trying to get in those tight shorts. It's not the guy who runs Krispy Kreme or McDonald's. What I'm saying is you're the fat one. So let's just use this. I mean, you know, Elizabeth Warren gets up there and talks about how the playing field is not level. And I wish I could tell you that everything was great, but it's not great. You can't get along. You know, it's not fair. Blah, blah, blah. It's fine. It's not. I trust her. Believe me. I believe her. Elizabeth Warren's daughter 100 years from now is going to be saying the same thing. And you're still going to be fat. What I'm saying is fine. All things aren't equal. I swear to God, I sit around with my Zoftig nanny Olga. You know, she's sturdy. She's got a little build on her. You know what I'm saying?
Old country.
Rubenesque.
Sit around. I said to her the other day, you know, as Lynette was devouring some ribs and, you know, washing it down with some dairy cream and, you know, keistering a stick of butter. That's my wife. She said, Jesus Christ, I wish I was, you know, and we're both doing our thing where we're measuring the food and
you
drinking.
And she.
Yeah, me and the nanny are like, I'm on the juice thing because I'm shooting the cover of the book that next week I'm trying to lose a few pounds. And she's like, yeah, it's too bad we don't have Lynette's metabolism. Then we could just fucking eat whatever we wanted and not ever.
She said that or you said that?
She said it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Not ever gain an ounce. Well, my wife, that's why I married her. My wife eats whatever the fuck she wants. Now, she would tell you, like all people do, oh, I work out all the time, twice a week. You know, I'm pretty careful about my diet.
But I think once you get to a certain point, you can do that for maintenance. You know, you just watch what you're taking in.
Yeah, I'm saying she has a genetic thing going on that allows her to eat, whereas my nanny does not have that genetic thing. Now, we could sit and lament the fact that it's not an even genetic playing field. But that's not going to help Olga drop a couple pounds.
Right.
And she could get angry at Lynette as well. it's still not going to help Olga drop a couple of pounds. Sadly, the only thing that's going to help me and Olga drop a couple of pounds is while Lynette is eating her ribs, we'll be choking down a smoothie that doesn't taste nearly as good as the ribs. Sad, but there you go.
Such a tragedy.
Well, but don't you want to?
Yes, I get your point.
Why not?
Point is well taken.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you think somebody in power could be a senator, could be the president, it could be the head of the PTA in your community. If you think that person is going to come to your house and get you to shed those pounds or somehow wave a magic wand and the pounds will melt away, I've never seen that happen.
Right.
So no, knowing all of that.
They might be able to motivate you to do it because you see something that you admire and you think, okay, well, that's my goal. That's what I'm going to look for. That's what I'm going to strive for.
Yes.
But they're not going to do it themselves.
You know,
no.
On my podcast, I don't know when it's going to air, Gary, but there's a nurse coming in here who's expert in all this stuff, like how to freeze fat and, you know, whether or not what kind of stuff like that works.
December, January.
Yeah, well, she's coming in a few minutes to record this thing. If you want to ask those questions, she'll be in the brain room. What of that stuff, that all this, the procedural stuff that people do, what's real and what's not?
What works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. It's interesting, right?
Well, what is the rage? I mean,
I have no idea.
It was lipo for a million years.
Now they have freezing and ultrasound lipo, all kinds of shit out there.
I think that only affects about 20% of the overall fat that it's
I know nothing, zero about it. Want her to educate me about it. But the point is, she can come in here and answer those questions. She'll probably be here, you know, half hour or something if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Yeah. Hey, somebody sent me an article that I thought was interesting, for particularly with Philip here, because we were talking about relationships and stuff. It's material I think I've seen before. I scanned this, you know, when I was getting my coffee. Its headline is, "Science Says Lasting Relationships Comes Down to Two Basic Traits." What do you guys think those traits are?
The ability to listen, I would think, would be one of them.
Okay, listening carefully. And that's, I think that's a corollary of something he's pointing out here, Adam. One's a negative, one's a positive. One thing to avoid, and I think this article's saying, I've seen this literature before, one thing to avoid and one thing to embrace.
Hold on. Did the gay guy say something? Because I was kind of tuned out. I was thinking about
ribs. I wasn't lisping. That's why you didn't pay attention.
Yeah, where's your lisp? I was thinking about ribs.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, me too.
So the ability to listen.
That's Phillip's number one.
Yeah. For me.
What do you avoid? What do you need to embrace? What's a death emotion or experience for a relationship? And what is a building block for a relationship and sustained relationships?
The important thing is to understand the person you're with and not go, well, this is how they should think, or this is how I think, or this is how the sensible person thinks.
You should never say things like, I'm trying to help you. If you hook the keys up on the door on the way out, you won't have to look for the keys.
I'm trying to help her.
Trying to help yourself.
You want to go on that rib run? You need your keys.
So you need to put them in the dog's leash, hang that with the keys.
No, what I'm saying is, for me personally, sort of understanding who you're with and what they want versus you, because it's hard. Meaning this, we've talked a million times. I can easily come off the road after 2 days, walk right into the den, plop down, and turn on the TV set and just go, oh, I'm exhausted from the travel.
And what you want is to be left alone to do that.
Right. But what my wife wants is for me to walk into the room and give her a hug and say, I missed you. Hmm. And then I can go into the den.
Which you did, but that's not the first thing on your mind when you walk in the house.
And eventually I'll get to it.
Well,
but
isn't there something that both of you could be doing that would create sort of a compromise of those things where both of you get your needs
met? Yeah. I think we do. I think she kind of understands that my wiring is not it's not personal. My impulse is to flop down on the thing and get caught up on SportsCenter. That's just who I am.
When I called your house last night, were the kids having dinner? Where were you? It's like, are you like, I need to talk to Lynette. Oh, let me go find her. And then it sounded like you walked into like a restaurant.
Well, Lynette was eating ribs, so she couldn't. No. She was, but she
strangely,
was eating
strangely.
Ribs. But no, what had happened was there was a sleepover. There was a midweek.
That's a rare event, huh? Somebody's parents out of town or something?
Drew, don't.
No, okay.
Don't get me started. Okay. There was a sleepover.
Is this an adult sleepover or a child sleepover?
I wish there was an adult sleepover. We should have one of those.
Those are just called rapeovers.
Yes.
I'll be there.
Chris. There was a sleepover. Sonny's friend was sleeping over.
Okay.
And not only was Sonny's friend sleeping over, but there was a two-tent party going on in Sonny's room. The boys needed their tent. My daughter needed a secondary tent.
Yes.
She was very upset. I opened the door.
God, this sounds like where you grew up.
There's pieces of furniture being slid into the room to literally act as tent poles. There's
you need them. They're necessary.
Oh, my God.
Fort,
my wife's in there reading a story.
You were lucky.
Everyone's
your room
off.
Was a fort.
Got to turn the lights off and get the flashlights out.
Oh, my God. I know. That. I know. My thought is, like, how many calories went into this fucking tent? Like, okay. So there was a tent off that was going on in the room, and then when you called, that was probably a little later in the night. When you called, everybody was in the eating. Although, I have to say, and you guys tell me how this works. When I was 8 years old, I was a ravenous, fucking insane.
Animal.
I was a raccoon in the dumpster of life.
Things
you know,
have really changed.
And I walk out there, and I see my son's friend Jensen, who's 9, and my son, who's 8. The nanny has made him up a plate of fucking good vittles. Mm. Like, you know, it's white rice, it's some vegetables, and then it's a bunch of like bullshit Chinese, you know, sweet and sour, you know, sesame chicken. And it's just sitting there, and it's all cut up and everything, and it's just kind of sitting in front of them. And they're both just sitting there, and the TV's on, and they're just watching the TV.
Oh, you would have devoured
that. And I just walked by, and I look at them, and I, what's going on? And they're watching TV, and I come back like 10 minutes later, the exact same amount of food is on the plate. I'm like, what's going on? Where's the eating? Like here was the whole deal with me. The whole deal with me is once a week I'd go to my grandparents' house, and my grandfather was Hungarian, and he would cook. He'd be ladling out the goulash and the gnocchetti and all the noodles and the dumplings and all that kind of stuff. And the biggest argument that took place at the table was as my grandmother would serve the stuff up and pass the plate around the table, I'd be sitting to her left. I'd get to the plate first. I would devour what was given to me because it was so savory and I was so fucking hungry that I would say to my grandma, seconds. And my grandmother's answer always was, I have not finished serving. I've not got to my plate yet. I devoured what I got
before they even served.
Before she'd served. She got around to her. I see these kids. I yell at the nanny, what's going on with Jensen? She's like, he's a slow eater.
Oh.
I said, slow eater? There's all this. Why aren't you guys eating? My son, to mock me, grabbed two handfuls of rice and shoved it in his face. You happy now, old man? And I'm like, no, why aren't you? There's a plate of food that sits in front of you. Ooh. Why no? Your young boys, no interest. Little to no. We'll get around to it. At some point, we'll have a little argument, like at minute 42. Like, come on, Sonny, finish your chicken.
What were they doing besides not eating?
I mean, just watching TV.
Okay.
Just sitting there watching TV.
People would argue that's part of the problem.
It is, but they're still not fucking. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So, yes, there was a sleepover jamboree.
Okay.
Natalia's back from ice skating. She's running around. She's going to do the Christmas pageant. And
you're
going to
go.
Oh. They do. Okay.
I know. I've been there.
Okay. The practices are 3 hours long. I don't. Since when do we have to go to fucking practice?
Since you're a supportive father.
I'll go to the show. Don't ruin it for me.
She'll remember none of those appearances at this practice.
Okay.
So what are these two traits? What's the one to avoid? We haven't gotten to that one yet.
What's the one to avoid? That's a good question.
What's the death? What is death to a relationship in terms of how you treat your partner? It distills down to actually one word, and it's not a word easily conjured, but it will make sense to everybody when we say it. I've told you this in the past, actually.
Empathy?
No, no.
What is the negative?
The positive one is they frame it as kindness. I think empathy is the better word.
Okay.
They frame it as you have to be kind to your partner, and which means sort of responsive and gentle and nurturing. Mm-hmm. Nurturing, empathy, mm-hmm. all those words fit in under kindness.
So you would think it would just be the polar opposite.
I think resentment is probably one of the strongest negatives.
And I agree with you. I think that's not what they put here, but I agree. Resentment is what we always used to tell our patients. It's mm-hmm. like taking a poison and expecting it to kill the other person. Oh. It's a nasty, aggressive kind of. And this, the word they use comes under the same rubric. The word is contempt. If you show contempt for your partner, it's like,
yes.
You know, like disgust. It's disgust. If you show disgust or contempt, that's a primary emotion that is really problematic for relationships.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So how do you avoid feeling that way?
When your wife doesn't put the keys on the chain, you don't get disgusted about it. You feel
– no.
Because you can do it too. I mean, you can just – okay, she's not going to do this. It annoys me because – James does this too. He'll leave his keys all over the house and can never find them. And I do have.
You need Adam to come to your house. He'll straighten that right up. Is the dog leash, is that missing too?
No, the dog leash has been put away. But I leave a bowl on near the center table in the hallway. It's where all the keys go.
Yeah.
But he's thinking of 5,000 things at once all the time. So I understand that he can't always remember to do that.
Yeah.
So as much as it annoys me, I will pick up the keys and I'll put them in the bowl.
All right. So that's kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's considerate.
Well, a couple things. I would say, and by the way, Drew.
You would say if they would just change because it's for them.
Yes.
You're doing
this. We talked about this earlier.
You wouldn't experience the contempt.
Well, you're quite the hypocrite, Drew.
Really?
Because the things that would be completely unacceptable for your children, especially growing up, the expectations you have for them and that sort of thing growing up.
Yeah.
Because I know you feel very strongly about that kind of stuff with your children, completely go out the window with your spouse. That the way that you would say, look, you would have no qualms with saying, this is the right way to do this. It's going to be a better life. You want your keys. I would say to Philip, for that exact same reason that you have a million things that your partner, that your husband has a million.
Yeah.
I have a million things on my mind. That's why I put the keys in the same place, because I have too many other things to think about. I don't want to deal with the keys. Number one. Number two, Drew's keys are in the refrigerator right now because there's something he doesn't want to forget, and he knows he'll forget it in the fridge if he puts the keys by the entry table.
Okay.
He'll get in his car and leave.
So they're in the refrigerator now with the...
He knows thyself.
Okay.
He's smart enough to know he's not that smart.
But it takes a discipline, though.
Thank you.
A discipline.
What you would ask of your children.
Starting with third grade.
Now, can I tell you this about Lynette? Lynette does put her keys by the entryway every time now.
Yeah.
And it's better for her. And it's not an exclusive thing because there's two things. One is it happens on occasion that I need to move her car and she's in the shower or taking a nap or took off with one of her friends and I can't find her
keys.
Not
saying you're wrong.
It's no quiet.
Things.
I'm saying this is not an issue that just involves them. If it was just their own personal.
If they were living alone, fine.
Whatever, put your keys wherever you want. But I sometimes have to move the car and I need the keys or I got to get something out of the car and I don't know where to look. Or I'm taking Molly for a walk and I don't know where the leash is.
Yeah.
Molly's the name of my nanny. I don't. Well, you have to keep things in context.
Sure.
No. And so what I say is, look, put it here.
Then we can all find it.
Because you're screwing my life up a little bit, too. And also, you may be a dreamer. You may be a little bit out of it. Maybe your heads are in the cloud. Don't put me up there with you.
So we've had this conversation.
And you know what?
She's better off because of it. And
the keys are on the thing. The leash is hanging on the hook. And it's good.
And
we never discuss it.
Let me just say.
Except here.
Parent, Philip backed me up on this
yes.
all the time. He discusses it here.
There's no more conflict.
Over that. I understand.
There's
zero conflict. The question is, at what cost did that behavior change come? And what I'm going to frame this as, parenting is not a negotiation.
It shouldn't be.
Right. A romantic relationship is.
Yeah, because it's about two people coming together to occupy
space. That's right. You came together as whole people. And so it's negotiating. It's not requiring change. Parenting is, here's how you're going to do it. It's not a negotiation.
No, as I said, and maximum 3/10 in this room last night. I put my foot down. I cut them off at 3/10. Yes.
Tense. Building
I walked
codes.
Into T-N-T-S, tent
yes.
city.
Not T-N-T-H-S.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. So yeah. when you come in as a parent with anger and disgust and contempt for a behavior of a romantic partner, there's going to be resentment generated on the other side that will stay. Will
no,
be a price.
I agree, but I think it's a balance in that there's a, you know, a household is a little bit of a ship that needs to be run.
Okay. So, but
a little bit.
Yes.
A little
agree.
Bit. And there's things that involve safety
but
and
you're
things
saying,
that involve many, many topics.
All right. But that's a relationship style now. You're saying that, listen, I'm Captain Hook and she's Mr. Smee.
No,
and that's
I
just
don't,
the way
I
it
don't
goes.
Wanna be cap- I don't want to be the captain.
Well, then occasionally hand it over to her, come what may. You know, it might get kind of squalled.
No, Drew, listen. I've talked about this a few times.
More than a few times.
But listen, when the gardener...
Does she not load the dishwasher correctly?
Well, no, don't get me going on the dishwasher.
Okay.
When the gardener constantly leaves the gate open
yes.
in the courtroom...
And the dogs get out.
And
no, the kids.
The kids.
Oh. The pool.
The kids can drown in the pool.
No, listen.
And they're playing in the courtroom. That's a very big safety issue.
That's right. When there's lives in the moment, you do whatever
saying,
you have to do. I mean, I'm just saying.
True. Obviously,
he's and dog leash,
no,
different
no,
issue.
No, what I'm saying is the household at some point has an element of a ship
I agree.
To it. And there's some things that fall under convenience, but there's some things that fall under safety, and then there's some things that just kind of intersect. You know, it's the, I went to the out to the courtyard, but I forgot to lock the door. I've had many times... When I've been out on the road for 3 days, come back and realize that the French doors were just undone yeah. for the whole 3 days I've been gone.
Sure.
All right. That's a safety thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be the captain, but I do need to be the person that says, hey, listen, we need to... This needs to be taken care of as a safety
issue. I get it. With safety.
Issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said convenience, though. So stamps.com would fall right into that heading. That's right. Our buddies at Stamps.com. Christmas almost here. Holidays upon us. Who wants to go to the post office and wait in lines? Everyone's standing in line to pay. They wouldn't be standing there if they were using stamps, but it's packed. And so I sometimes think the post office is very, very much behind Stamps.com because they need to be able to save money. We need the post office to survive.
Thins
and stamps
herd.
Is an efficiency that allows the post office to do its job without overcrowding. That's right. Avoid the hassle. Use Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer, your own printer. It's easy. It's convenient. You print it out. You weigh it up. You get the exact right amount. Don't worry about what first-class mail is this week or this month or this year. Stamps will tell you. Print it. Done. Mailman picks up your letter. And we have our special offer. When you use the promo code ADS, get a no-risk trial, $110 value bonus offer, including a digital scale. I haven't seen your guys. Chris, where's the scale for stamp size? Is it attached to your computer? Don't look at me like that. I want to say.
It's in the back connected the back. To Kaylin's computer because he's the one who's been sending out all the books.
Got it.
Finished with that, by the way. So if you're looking for your books, watch the mail.
All right. Bam. And free postage, of which the first $55 is free. And after that, you have to pay like everybody else. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS. That is stamps.com. Promo code ADS.
True.
Yeah.
Speaking of books, and then I'll just put a cap on this, which is, you know, you constantly get into me with this stuff, but I'm telling you.
It's low-hanging fruit.
It sounds a little strange.
Lynette's, you're way up my ass with this shit, dude. Back off. Lynette's keys are where she can find them. They're where I can find them.
I'm not thinking it's not better.
We never have another discussion about it.
I'm just saying what
There's
cost.
No frustration.
It's all good.
I don't know at what
I'm
cost.
You're wrong.
What is the cost of me looking around for her keys 5 years from now? What or her looking around for her keys?
Loss of calories versus loss of intimacy.
Well,
I don't know. Which
well,
is better,
what do you mean?
Right?
But it's not a cost. She wants them there too. And it doesn't, by the way, it never had to be a cost. It never had to. It could have been, you know what? The bowl's a good idea.
Part of her metabolism is that she wanders around the house looking for her keys.
That's how she's
able to eat those damn ribs.
She's constantly on a key quest. Well, she's going to put on some pounds now because those keys are always where they need to be.
The first half of this podcast was about how change is so great and so important. Maybe you could change the way you deliver those messages in such a way that it would be more effective.
That is important.
Thank you, Philip.
It's fucking Drew. Number one, and anybody.
Okay.
The first go-round for me with everything is always cordial.
Cordial.
I've not seen the first go rounds. I don't get to witness those. But maybe there's some contempt or disgust in that makes people defensive. Maybe a whiff of it in there.
Maybe there's a tone issue.
Yeah.
Look.
Well, that's contempt now. You're expressing contempt towards me.
Do you realize how condescending it is for you to sit there and go, you know, maybe the person is getting a tinge of, what are we talking about, a special needs kid or an adult?
No, and the maybe, I'm just asking questions. That's why it's not the condescending. I'm saying, well, I wonder if that might be.
My first go-round is cordial. My second go round.
Do you tip your hat? Do you say sir?
Is informative.
Do you say good day at the end of it?
And my
informative, instructive could be another word.
Instructive. And my third go round has some vitriol in it.
Chris, is that about right? You've seen all phases.
That's pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. All right. And when he's cordial,
I only do the first round.
Does he have any sort of pet, acronym or nickname or any sort of greeting he uses to sort of indicate the cordiality of the initiated conversation?
It varies, but it is respectful.
Mr. Chris.
I, first off, do try to weigh in whatever my role is in this scenario. I do say things like, maybe I shouldn't have said this or maybe I was misleading, but here's what we need to do.
That's true. He does do that.
I do a lot of.
Yeah, you do that.
I understand this was said. Maybe I shouldn't have ignored it. But anyway, here's moving forward. But
is that at home or at work?
Both.
Ah.
There's no difference. Mm. Oh, see? Mm. See? Philip has an issue with that.
Uh-huh. No, look, you're right.
Because this is how I will frame the request.
Mm-hmm.
This would make me happy if...
Mm-hmm.
Could you possibly?
See? Yes. What about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do.
And then in turn, I get something else. It's like, well, you know what? This would make me happy. Like, okay, well, let's see about that.
See?
Drew, you know what I do a lot of? Not this would make me happy.
21 years. 21 years.
Really?
Yeah, together.
Been married 21
years? No, been married for a year because it only became legal last year.
Right.
But it feels like 21 years.
We've been together for 21 years.
You got together when you were three?
No, I was well into my 20s.
I do the opposite of this would make me happy. But let me tell you what the opposite of this would make me happy. This
is for your
is
own
gonna
good.
Be easy. No, not for your own good. It's going to make things easier on you.
Because I won't yell at you.
Yes. I won't take out the switch. No. This may make it easy on you because... You're the one who walks Molly. I only walk Molly occasionally, so you'll be the one who's the recipient.
But does she know where the leash is most of the time?
No. I mean, now it is.
Okay.
Now she does. Before, it used to be some searching about.
This would make me happy. See what happens.
This would make me happy.
It'd be interesting. See how she reacts to that.
If those ribs made you fat, this would make me happy. All right, I'm going to try that.
But they don't.
I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
I'm going to say it verbatim tonight. No, Lynette is...
This would make me happy if you went with us to the SCUCLA game. This would make me happy.
If what?
You came with us to the SCUCLA game.
Me?
Yeah.
I shall be doing...
It would make me happy if you canceled that.
It was
confusing for
you. Would you like to know what I shall be doing?
Sure. Let's...
I don't have to... I will tell you what my weekend was. Since this show is
a Sunday. Okay.
Yes. While you and the kids and the wifey are at the USC game, here will be Daddy's schedule. Mm-hmm. Leave Burbank at 3 p.m.
Friday.
Mm-hmm. Land in Portland. Do a Mangria. Oh, pardon me. Go to the theater and do two shows, two 90-minute shows. Sign books and bottles. In between and after each show, get back to hotel, maybe one-ish, maybe 1:30, 10 a.m. lobby hotel, Mangria signing.
In the hotel this time.
In the hotel.
Convenient.
This sign. Then get in a rental car and drive to Seattle.
Nice.
Do Mangria signing in Seattle Saturday afternoon.
In Seattle, somewhere within 20 minutes of Seattle, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Two 90-minute shows, signings in between and after the two shows in Seattle. Then 7:50 flight out of Seattle, back to Burbank, land Sunday somewhere around 10:30, 11 in Burbank.
Good times.
That will be my weekend.
And then greet your wife with open arms, saying how much I missed you.
That's so nice what to I'm be doing. Home. And she'll like, let me put my rib down and hug you. I don't want to stain your shirt.
I found the dog leash.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? She's been in a suit. As much as you bitch.
I'm not bitch.
She has done these things, and now I need to do these things for her.
Huh.
Her version.
You mean the Portland of Seattle?
No.
Oh, she has stuff she asks you to do.
Well, she wants me to, when she says, hey, I went and met with those guys about X, Y, and Z, as important. As opposed to me going, it sounds great, and walking into the next room and watching SportsCenter.
Like you normally would.
I need to stop and go, tell me about it.
Good
How'd
job.
How'd it go? Sounds great.
Yeah. Well
that,
done.
That well
good.
Done.
Okay, good.
And
right.
I'm trying to improve myself.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Philip, mm-hmm. Philip's got some notes.
Mm-hmm. You
He's got some, but I think it's good.
Wouldn't have a
I
beef.
I think that's progress. It's good. Growth,
yeah, but you and Philip would not have a beef with me trying to improve that.
No.
All right.
I have no beef with any of this.
Okay, but da-da-da.
Huh.
Okay. You would be all for me trying to improve that.
Yeah.
All right. What's wrong with Stephen? Is Stephen your husband's name?
James.
James.
That's what I'm saying, James.
I used to date a Stephen, but that was a long
Weird.
Time ago.
I was picturing him. He was hot.
Yeah.
You know the thing about
Philip
him for a second.
No, no, James.
Fluent in Spanish and German. How the hell did that happen?
I lived in Central America for 2 years as a child at different times. I was three and a half.
And
I lived in Nicaragua for a year
what
and came
German?
Back to the States and couldn't speak English.
Wow.
And then when I was 12, I moved to Costa Rica.
German.
German. I studied in college.
The James, back to James.
Yeah.
So there are things that I need to do with Lynette. Right?
Yeah.
We all agree that's good.
Yeah.
I don't follow my instincts.
Yeah.
Stop, ask, hug.
Yeah.
Do that. Change.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what's wrong with James throwing the keys in the bowl?
Nothing.
That's same change.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So why am I the animal for asking for the keys to be in the bowl, but she's perfectly within her rights to ask that I do it?
You
yes.
always hear me being
Thank
critical
you.
Of you when asked, when I'm wondering mm-hmm. if a change in the style of delivery yes. of your request would alter this.
It's a Meisner exercise.
You say that every time. Let me.
Yes, and you fucking don't
Matt,
hear it anytime.
Fucking Matt, the porcelain punisher on the fucking microphone
Why?
Over there.
He's changed how you deal with him now?
Matt's my assistant. All right.
Okay.
Assistance basically. All
Did you see how fast he scurried in there?
All you do is sit around all day while people fuck up around me, right?
It's pretty spectacular.
And ask for unreasonable requests and this, that, and the other, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's a million things
that
go
only
wrong.
Adam.
All
only
day.
Your life.
No,
that's only
this
you.
Is my assistant.
Yeah,
this right. is my
yeah.
life. And this is what I'm talking about.
All right.
All right, how am I to you? If someone else, like let's say, fucks up, am I shitty to you?
No, you're always very, very clear with me. If I've ever made a mistake, we are very open in our conversation about it. We try to get to the bottom of our miscommunication, but you've always been very fair with me.
All right.
Reset recording.
Assistants are the ones who should get the brunt of all shit because they're just around when everything is going wrong all the
fucking
time.
And to be fair to you, when assistants have fucked up, you've been brutal in the past.
No,
it's
I have.
No, it's because Matt's doing a good job, and so you have no reason to
Matt
be.
Does a great job.
No, I remember other Matts in your life. Things have not been so hunky-dory.
Well, I had an assistant that said, we need to sit down and talk about my attitude.
That's what I'm like, saying.
He was, but
wow.
he was a deeply troubled
just
lad.
Saying. I'm just saying.
All right, but what I'm saying is we had the conversation today, And do you remember how that conversation went when I was driving in?
Yeah, referring to the phoner Joe Rogan schedule for this evening?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We deconstructed a conversation where I thought Matt screwed up, but in a super cordial way.
It was a very cordial mistake.
It was a cordial mistake, and it was a way that we got to the truth without raising any voices. Thank
cordial translated films.
You got about
passive aggressive.
Yes, I think so too. Okay. Yes.
All right, anyway.
Anyway, I'm a hero.
Yeah.
Now,
indeed.
Where were we?
Take some calls.
Let's take some calls. Everyone needs to improve, especially Drew. Yeah. Right. Sean?
Get it on.
29?
Get it on indeed.
Portland, what's going on, man?
Sean?
Hey, I'm seeing you guys. I'm seeing you this Friday night, the first show.
Oh, good.
Not you guys, because Adam will not go on the road with me anymore. As much as I enjoy that.
Yeah, Drew's not a draw, but go ahead.
I'm off until March, so.
Translated, he doesn't like splitting the fees with me.
Go ahead. Splitting my fees?
I had a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had a question about oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
I've been lucky enough to receive oral sex from quite a few girls, I think over 30. And I've noticed that there are basically two types. The first type is a good type. They're into it. They, like, summon their inner porn star. It's great. And then there's a second type. They're, like, not into it. There's reluctance, hesitancy. They'll do it, but they're not into it. They're not happy about doing it. And my question is, how do you spot the difference between the two beforehand? Is there a way to tell them apart beforehand?
Well, I would like the ones that were bad at it or not into it to wear one of those orange freeway pylon cones on their head, just as a mandate. Now, obviously,
Couldn't they just wear the jackets for working on the freeway? It'd be enough.
The windbreaker?
Yeah, the orange windbreaker. You know, you'd identify them just as clearly.
Yeah,
why,
the
cone won't stay on their head.
I don't want the guys who are actually working on the freeway to be stigmatized as bad orally.
I see.
So I need the freeway pylon. Plus, at the bar, that really stands out.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean? It's an extra 22
Maybe if you're getting a bad
inches.
Hummer, something smells down there. They don't want to stay down there too much.
He's flipping the script on you, Sean. Maybe you danced a little too hard that night.
Yeah.
First off, I love the notion of the blowjob so much that it's like, you know, to me, it's like your 7-year-old trying to wash your car and doing a fucked up job of it, but you're so happy that not that I equate the oral with the 7-year-old, but you know what I mean? If I came home and left my house and I saw my son trying to wash my car, I wouldn't be, hey, you don't use dishwashing detergent. That'll take the carnauba wagon. I'd be like, oh, bless his heart. Look at him.
Yeah.
Look at him trying to help his daddy over there.
Yeah.
I feel the same way at the blowjob. If my son was, a bad blowjob still got to be, bless their hearts.
For just heading down there. So it's this guy's the problem. He's the problem, not the participant.
Yes, I think so. And by
it's about gratitude.
Yes, about gratitude. And look at a blowjob as like a keychain that a special needs cousin made for you. What are you going to do? Like, oh, this is the shittiest keychain I've ever seen. No, it's a nice effort there. It's the thought that counts.
Do you see what I'm saying? Problem. Yeah, I do. You need to be kind. Kindness again, back in the relationship, even when it's somebody you
And dismiss. If all blowjobs were great, then all blowjobs would just be the same.
And what a terrible world that would be.
Would you want to live in that world? I like when people jump you and go, would you want to live in that world? I wouldn't. You know, it's like, well, why don't you let me answer? Maybe I like that world. Okay. Yeah, Sean just sounded like a douche. Mike, 28,
hey,
Brooklyn.
What's going on? Eastman, Dr. Drew,
Mike,
what's going on?
What's happening?
First of all, I got to say that I wish I had the problem the first guy had.
Yeah.
But mine's on the spectrum. I'm trying to get I've been on a number of first dates. And I can't seem to get that second date. So I wanted to try to get some feedback and see what you guys had to say about that.
Let me just a couple quick questions. Do you sort of come on strong in that first date? Like, does it seem like...
Listen to his voice.
But listen, the fact that he takes somebody out is already novel. Oh, he's dating. You know, somebody goes out, hang out. And if you come on in that date and seem too enthusiastic, girls these days don't know how to even react to that.
But that's not him.
So these are just to set it up. These are just like internet dating site, or just one in particular that I'm on. But yeah, there's a just casual.
You live
bar
in
or whatever.
Fucking Brooklyn. Can't you meet people there?
Yeah.
Can't you meet people?
Well, I meet some there on the internet.
Are they Brooklynites that you're hanging with?
Yeah.
Now, okay, I have an interesting question. I'm going to ask Adam this first. Do you think this is some function, because Brooklyn is hipster central, mm-hmm. and is this sort of the Lena Dunhamization of the hipster? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Is there some weird phenomenon amongst hipsters that they just they flee relationships or something? I don't know. I'm just throwing.
Because that's something that I think about sometimes, and I think that's actually you're on the path there. I think that's sort of true. Just because I think like people are probably not, you know, obviously not marrying as young as they used to and all that.
Well, it's not just not marrying. It's that they just don't know how to be close. They don't know how to hang out. They know how to date, you know, come together and break apart or build a relationship. This is all like novel territory because in college, all you're doing is hooking up. Then after college, you're only hanging out at bars and hanging out and going working hard at night and hanging out, you know, working hard day, we're hanging out at night. And there's no sort of frame, no sort of script.
I blame the cell phone because it's the independence.
Or is it the website, the naps?
It's the autonomy. We're all
separated.
Yeah, we're all standing in an elevator staring at our own phones trying to take care of our own
shit. We don't communicate with one another anymore.
Right. So everybody's just – there's a certain autonomy versus narcissism, which we've created, which is we're all just kind of living in our own thing. You know, I don't – you know, when you're able to communicate via text and Twitter and all Facebook and all kind of stuff, you become satiated.
Yeah.
I think. We're not that hungry, much like I was talking about my son and his friend just sort of sitting there not eating.
I've said that
all
with
day.
young males and porn.
Yeah,
that's happening.
Yes, they're withdrawing. I mean, but look, can you blame them?
Chris is like case one. This is case zero right there. He's like, yeah, hell yeah.
I was a waiter at a restaurant, and yeah, every time I'd come into the table, all four people there would be just on their cell phones. Yeah. They wouldn't even be looking up.
Interesting.
Well, so there's
this. Chris, strangely, was looking at porn.
They were looking at porn on their cell phones.
Yeah.
There's a satiation thing, and I don't blame them because if you had a magic box on your desk that just flew in porn from around the world, you might not get out and go hunting yourself at a younger age. So, but not all about porn. But it's we're satiated, we're narcissistic, and we're flying solo, and that's okay. It used to be. I mean, could you remember an evening back in the day when you were single, when you were young, where you're just home alone? And it was like that feeling of helplessness, like, oh, shit, where's the party? Yeah. Everyone's going out.
No. I mean,
now it's like you have 500 channels in a flat panel television. Yeah. If you want to just sit there and get buried in that, go ahead. Drink one of the many micro brews that are available at the Trader Joe's and just have a night with your, you know, go to Netflix and just watch your favorite movie.
I think that was a nice thing for me about being in my 20s and the 80s and flying so much was that there was always a place to go, people to meet and things, you know, places to hang out and things to do. So we didn't have cell phones and the social media and as many channels as we do now.
So here's my basic note to Mike is for John.
Well, yeah. I mean,
do
look,
not back down from this. Keep going. Just get good at dating. Get good at asking people out. Enjoy it, and the thing will begin to develop on its own.
I have found, and I think this is what I'm picking up off of Mike. What turns women off on that first date is a kind of insecurity.
I don't know. What do you want to do? That move.
Yes. Don't ever make the mistake of, like, you know, they go, you want to go to dinner? Yeah. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? What do you think? And they'll go, I know this place. I know the guy. I know the chef. This guy's great. He's going to set us up.
Be confident. Make some decisions, even if they're bad ones.
Adam always described a spelunker with a light on the head of the helmet.
I did?
Yeah.
I never remember that.
Yeah.
What would I say?
He said, you women want the guy at the head of the pack. We're going this way.
Come well, that's not a spelunker.
You use that word. Right? What, is that a word I use?
You just used it.
Cape
I like
divers.
When people use that. No, yeah. I don't know. Spelunker.
That's your word.
Okay. Well, I think of spelunking. I don't think of it as a social thing. But no, what I always said is I don't want people No woman wants a guy standing at the trailhead going, I don't know, should we go that way? Should we go this way? They want the guy to go, follow me to safety. Yeah. Here's the way we go. Even if you're attacked by bear, he still goes, this is the way you go. Not, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Right. It makes them insecure when they feel your insecurity. So, Mike, I think you need to be a little more assertive, not aggressive, just assertive. Right. You know, don't do dinner by proxy. Do the, if you like Italian food, I know the best place in town.
Sure.
It's called Olive Garden.
It's good advice because I think I definitely lack in that field. So, cool, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. I know the chef. His name is Raul. He's back there. You give him the thumbs up. He'll give it back to you. Don't worry about it.
He makes Raul's ragu, strangely.
Go take care of business, man. All right. Us, you, me, bunch of shows coming up. You can go to amcroll.com, find out wherever we're going to do a show. I'm going to do a show. And if you want to support this show, go to the Amazon banner at Adam and drdrewshow.com. Help get us back to zero. Drew.
Is Jamie here, Chris? No, so Jamie's not here, but she's going to do a podcast with me where I'll discuss all the stuff we were talking about the various procedures that are out there for people. I know nothing about it, but I'm going to try to expand my understanding of it and why people do it and what's available.
Is Jamie
what's
blonde?
Yep.
She's here.
Okay.
All right. I saw something blonde go by out of the corner of my eye. I sent her away
per your instructions.
Oh. I like that.
She was here. You're not crazy. She's not here anymore.
Okay. All right.
What the hell?
What are my instructions again? Go ahead.
No one does their podcast here but you?
It's not how I said it.
Well, okay, but that was the message.
Yeah, you're going to the other studio.
I don't want Drew and all this crazy nutty guests here.
Going
to
the studio. Oh, you didn't send her away. You sent her to the other
studio. Away from this building. Sorry. Yes.
Is that where I'm having to go to do a podcast?
You sent her to the other studio, Gary.
Do I have to go there to do a fucking podcast?
Yes, you do, Drew.
Yes.
Dude, that sucks. But I'll do it.
Listen,
I'll do it.
You're both passive-aggressive dillweeds. Now listen to me. I sent her away as per your instructions. Let me explain what goes on here, Philip.
Yes, please.
Adam, it
would make me happy if...
Let me explain what went on here. No, since you guys started this, I sent her away as per your instructions. Come on, Gary.
Just stating the fact.
First off, I built a second studio.
Okay.
I built that second studio a block away from here. I built that second studio because for two things. One, it turns into a little clusterfuck here with the parking and the cars. And
all
the,
six spaces, yeah.
And the other thing. Oh, you'd be surprised how many minivans get parked at the mouth and people can't get out and people need to get in. Mm-hmm. The other fact is Drew has a few crazy guests and some of them are special needs guests.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've had it happen many times. Matt, the porcelain punisher, back on the blower. It happens quite frequently where I am having a meeting with some clients or some vendors or something in that back, and strange person walks in through door and plops down on sofa in between us. Mm-hmm. And I've literally had to say, excuse me, but we're having a meeting, and it's a little uncomfortable. But how many of my meetings have been interrupted by just folks wandering in and plopping down?
Many, many, many.
And they literally sit in between us. He's on one sofa, I'm on the other.
These are my guests?
It could be your guest, could be from Lynette's show, could be from anybody. They're not trying to fuck with me. But
so let me understand. So the new plan is other shows go to the other studio. Just asking.
No, not all. But I have said I built another studio. It was expensive. It remained dormant for a year. And the reason I built it is to try to move some of the traffic over there so that when I'm here doing what I'm doing...
Okay.
Today, when we're done with this show, Philip or I are not going to get our car blocked by a couple of guests who may have pulled in and backed up behind us.
Right. Okay, makes sense.
When did that turn into some weird...
It's your thing. You do whatever the fuck you want. You know what I mean? That's the reality.
Well, one guy over there, is, I sent her away, just like you said, and then you're like, what the fuck? When did
I
it
was
turn
with
into
the fox? So anyway, right. It's whatever.
Phillip, you just experienced what went on.
Yes, I did.
It would make me happy if.
Did it sound like I did something wrong or evil?
Not to my ears, no, not this time.
But might there?
If it sounded like I was insinuating you did something wrong or evil, I'm very sorry. That was not what
but
I was.
But might there be? But again, always what I wonder with Mr. Kroll is whether a change in his demeanor might improve the message and how people feel around him. So I'm just wondering.
This is true, although okay, he's been nothing but kind to me these few times I've been
Thank
here.
Thank you, Phillip.
Yes. I got to get
you're a hero.
All right. Gentleman and a hero.
So I'm sorry for building studios for everyone to do their podcasts. I sincerely
giving work
apologize.
To other people. You're a job creator. What is wrong with you?
Oh, well, that's the fact.
That's the fact, Jack. The show, Major Crimes. It is on TNT. It is Monday, third season, tomorrow. Or if you're listening to it on a Monday, then it can be tonight. But either way, third season returning to TNT. And you can go to Phillip Keane, KEENE.com. Or that's his Twitter.
At Phillip Keane.
At Phillip Keane, sorry. At Phillip Keane. And Take a Knee with Norman Lear. Subscribe at AdamCarolla.com/archive. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Phillip Keane. Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata, and Gary Heftard saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.